Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrives in Australia this week on an historic visit. It will be the first by a serving Israeli leader since the state was proclaimed in 1948. But ahead of his arrival, more than 60 prominent Australians have signed a statement strongly opposing the visit. They have a number of concerns, in particular the construction of settlements on Palestinian land in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem. Meanwhile, former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd has joined Bob Hawke in saying the time has come to recognise Palestine. In a moment, Dr. Colin Rubenstein from the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, but first, Bishop George Browning, who is the President of the Australian Palestinian Advocacy Network. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning, Ellen.
You've organised this statement, which strongly opposes the visit by Benjamin Netanyahu. Just last week, the Israeli Prime Minister had talks with Donald Trump. If he's welcome in the White House, why not here in Australia?
Ellen, when visiting heads of state arrive, they should receive courtesy and respect. It's hard to give courtesy and respect to somebody who has flouted international law and who clearly is making legal abuses of Palestinian rights on a very large scale.
Mm. What about the idea that it's better to engage and influence rather than isolate?
Well, that is true, and there's no doubt that Australia, particularly the coalition government, which is a strong friend of Israel, will engage. But we want to make sure that the engagement is appropriately, as friends should, to actually to challenge when things are being done that should not be done.
The statement expresses a number of concerns, the imprisonment of Palestinians without trial and the blockade of Gaza. But the major complaint is, and I'm reading from the statement, that Israel continues to illegally build settlements on Palestinian land in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, continues to confiscate Palestinian land and continues to demolish Palestinian homes. Mm. How much does this undermine any progress towards peace?
Well, it almost totally annuls the process, because it isn't simply the ground that is taken by the settlements themselves, but it alienates up to 60% of the 22% that is left to the Palestinians, so that the Palestinians are really corralled into little sort of ghettos of population, and they're not allowed on the roads, as you know. The infrastructure mitigates against them, and their rights are severely restricted. So the more settlements that are built, the more difficult the process is. And the Australian government, the bipartisan approach of Australia, is a two-state solution, as has been America's approach. In reality, there is only one state now, and that is controlled by the Israeli army.
Mm. Why do you say that the building of those settlements undermines progress towards peace? Because we'll hear from Colin Rubenstein in a moment, who'll say that Israeli settlements only occupy 1.7% of the West Bank.
Well, Ellen, as I've just said, that may or may not be true, but there are several realities. And one is that under international law, an occupying country should actually look after the civilian rights of those that they occupy. But the reverse is true, that the occupying army looks after the rights of the settlers, not of the Palestinians. And in order to look after their rights, they actually make it virtually impossible for the Palestinians to live and to work and to get on with their lives in their own territory. They've been made aliens in their own territory. And as I say, 60% roughly of Palestine is now alienated from Palestinians.
Donald Trump told Benjamin Netanyahu he should pull back on settlements for a little bit. Do you think Malcolm Turnbull will express similar concerns this week?
Well, what does pull back for a little bit mean? I mean, it's such a gentle, almost a comical thing to say. The United Nations Security Council was very strong about all settlements are illegal and they shouldn't be occurring. And hopefully, Julie Bishop and Malcolm Turnbull will speak very straightly to Netanyahu about this matter. But in the past, there has been no public indication that they have. They may have done it privately, but it should be made public that there are strong representations about the illegal activity of the Israeli government.
As you say, the UN passed Resolution 2334 in December, condemning the settlements as a flagrant violation under international law.
Correct.
Last Monday, Israel's parliament passed a law meant to retroactively legalise thousands of West Bank settlement homes built on private Palestinian land. Do you think that this decision on the part of the Israeli government is linked to the election of Donald Trump?
It's hard not to draw that conclusion. It's very hard to know what Donald Trump thinks about anything, but it is clear that the American position in relation to Israel appears to be more favourable than that of than Barack Obama's administration.
Benjamin Netanyahu, as we say, met Donald Trump last week. The president said he's looking at a two-state and a one-state. Now, does that suggest to you that he's crab-walking away from that long-held US policy, which is support for a two-state solution?
Well, it does, Ellen, it does. But at the end of the day, what really is in Israel's best interest? Because one state cannot be a Jewish state or a democratic state. A one state has to be, if it's to be democratic, then the rights have to be the same for all. And the Palestinian population is projected to be slightly larger than the Israeli population. And therefore, democracy in a one state would not be possible. Then what does the international community do about that?
Mm. Is a one-state solution viable, in your view?
Well, one state would be viable if everybody had the same rights, if there was freedom of movement, freedom of democratic process, freedom of religion, freedom of ethnic equality for all ethnicities, etc., etc. But there is no indication at all from Netanyahu or from the members of the Knesset that they would go down this track. Quite the contrary, because many of the statements from members of the Knesset are racially based, really, and speak very badly of the Palestinians.
Labor also formally supports the two-state solution, but in the past week we've had two former Labor PMs, Bob Hawke, Kevin Rudd, both calling for Australia to formally recognise Palestine, as 137 other countries have done. Could the Netanyahu visit, do you think, be the catalyst for change in Labor policy towards Israel and Palestine?
Well, Ellen, that's a very good question. And I think it should be a catalyst for change, not simply with the Labor side, but also with the coalition. Because if we do support a two-state solution, then we've got to be opposed to the settlements. And we've got to be opposed to much of what Israel does. And so if we're going to stay with a policy of a two-state solution, then we've got to be far, far, far more vocal in our opposition to the activities of Israel. And at the moment, there is not a lot of indication that that is coming from our government.
Do you have any indication that Labor could shift on this point?
Yes, I do. And I think there is a possibility that they will, as you have correctly pointed out. Previous leaders of the Labor Party have encouraged that movement. Gareth Evans has, Bob Hawke has, Bob Carr has, even Kevin Rudd has. And so I'm not saying they have a huge amount of influence in the current Labor Party, but nevertheless, I think it's symbolic, but it's more than symbolic because it indicates that the Palestinians have the right to exist. And this year we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Balfour Declaration. And the Balfour Declaration assumed the establishment of an Israel on the basis that the rights of the indigenous people, that is the Palestinian people, would be respected. And that simply has not happened.
Bishop George Browning, thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure, Ellen. Thank you for having me.
Bishop George Browning, the president of the Australian Palestinian Advocacy Network.